What do you say? What do you know, everybody? Welcome to Shuck It, an Eat It and Like It podcast. My name is Jesse Blanco. I am the voice of food for Savannah, Hilton Head, Bluffton, Beaufort, Statesboro, Register, Midway, St. Simons, Jekyll. How about an Isle of Hope, too? Absolutely. If it's delicious in our area, we've got it all here. And this is our podcast. We started a few months ago. So thanks so much for joining us on one of our initial voyages on this little journey here. It's a lot of fun. It is weekly, most of the time, after we took a break for the holidays. But we are back in 2018 with a vengeance. We've got an interesting chat lined up for you today. It's about seafood and a documentary that is going to make its world premiere coming up at the Gray's Reef. I almost called it a seafood festival. You think I've got food on the brain? The Gray's Reef Film Festival here in Savannah. That is February the 9th. February the 10th is that Saturday. February the 10th. Saturday, February the 10th at the Trustees Theater. It's called Shifting Baselines, and it's a hour and 10-minute fascinating look at the effort to keep our seafood population alive. Joining me will be filmmakers Kathy Sakis and Mehmet Chalyan. We will chat with them about everything they learned while making the film and what you can expect when you go out to the Trustees Theater on Saturday the 10th. Saturday, February the 10th at 8 o'clock. Before we get to all of that, a few very quick announcements to share with you. Interesting stuff that's going on here in Savannah, Hilton Head area. No time like the present to mark your calendar for the Hilton Head Island Seafood Festival. It is a wonderful time. If you live on the island, you probably attended last year. It was jam-packed at Shelter Cove Park. It's moving to Honey Horn this year, new venue. That is the Saturday event. It is a week-long event of wonderful seafood dinners and tastings and educational and all kinds of stuff. You can find more by throwing Hilton Head Seafood Festival at Google, and the link is there. Or you can go to eatandalikeit.com, and we've got information on all the events and all kinds of different price ranges there. But that is February the 19th through the 25th. Like I said, it runs one entire week, but it the main event, if you will, the family fun day that everyone comes to recognize that festival as, with bounce houses and fried shrimp and oysters and all of that great fun, is that Saturday the 24th. So it will be a fantastic time if you are so inclined to come out and join us. One quick dish that I'm going to start sharing with you guys. What am I eating? I get that question a lot. What are you eating? Well, yesterday I had roasted broccoli and a grilled chicken breast. That's at home. I eat very boring at home because I get to eat very not boring when I'm working. So when I come home, I just want a tuna sandwich or something simple. But one sandwich that I did have, excuse me, one sandwich that I did have in the last week or so, was the smoked chicken salad sandwich at East End Provisions. Brand new spot on Broughton Street at Price, the old Juarez Mexican restaurant, if you're familiar with the area. But, you know, you order a chicken salad sandwich and you go, okay, well, yeah, I'll take the chicken salad sandwich because maybe you're not in the mood to eat or whatever, and you just, you know, it's a chicken salad sandwich. But let me tell you something. If there is a better chicken salad sandwich in Savannah, I need to know about it. You know, it comes down to taste. It comes down to profile. Chicken salad's one of those, you know, tricky things. Everybody thinks of their Nana when it comes to chicken salad and other things like that. So you might not think it's the best, but it is plenty good. It is outrageously good, and very much worth you if you're looking for lunch downtown Savannah to pop in and try that sandwich. One last thing before we take a break and come back for our chat with Kathy Sakis and Mehmet Chalyan, filmmakers. They have a documentary called Shifting Baselines. Is a cheesecake raffle. Some of the best cheesecake in Savannah, if not the best cheesecake in Savannah, you will find at Fork and Dagger, 609 Abercorn Street, right off of Forsyth Park. Brian Torres and Sky Hoyt are the proprietors of that particular spot. Brian has made a name for himself over the years doing cheesecakes. Used to be at Form. He is the cheesecake guy at Form. He was the cheesecake guy at Form. The cheesecakes are all Brian's. He's had them distributed by Whole Foods in the past. It is a big deal. Well, they're trying to raise some money for some ovens so he can expand his cheesecake empire. He talked about doing a Kickstarter campaign and other kinds of online, hey, give me money so I can do great things, services, which I think have so jumped the shark. I mean, everybody's using online give me money things for, hey, my dog needs a pedicure. Can you hook me up with $50? It's gotten a bit ridiculous. Some people are extremely needy. I don't want to downplay that at all, but some people, I believe, with those things have abused it. Brian's offering a raffle for cheesecake every week. $5. You buy a raffle ticket, and there will be one winner every single week who wins a cheesecake. Retail value, $35-$40 if you go buy it yourself. So for $5, you can enter a raffle and win a cheesecake. They're going to do it every Friday and hopefully raise a bunch of money to get some ovens in their spot. I thought it was creative. It's fun, and it's certainly delicious. So worth a mention here. Go to Fork and Dagger's Facebook page for more information, or better yet, pop into Fork and Dagger and have their Cuban sandwich. All the sandwiches are good, but the Cuban is legit. It's good stuff, about $10 with a side. So we're going to take a quick break. Come back for my chat with Kathy Sakis and Mehmet Chalyan about their film, their upcoming film that will premiere Gray's Reef Film Festival February the 10th. It is called Shifting Baselines. That chat when we come back.
Shuck It, an Eat It and Like It podcast, will return in a moment.
It's a night in Old Havana without ever having to leave downtown Savannah. For over 15 years, Rancho Alegre Cuban Restaurant has been a local's favorite for fantastic Cuban cuisine. Steak, seafood, you name it, Rancho Alegre delivers every single time with authenticity and an atmosphere unmatched anywhere in town for lunch or for dinner. You can find Rancho Alegre at 402 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, downtown Savannah at Jones Street, or log on to RanchoAlegreCuban.com. Welcome back to Shuck It, an Eat It and Like It podcast. My name is Jesse Blanco. Joining us now are a couple of filmmakers here in this area you may or may not know about. They've got a huge film that's about to make its world premiere, I think it is. They'll correct me if I'm wrong. Their names are Mehmet Chalyan, an old friend of mine. Not that he's old, but we go way, way back. And Kathy Sakis, she's a film producer. They put together a documentary called Shifting Baselines, which will premiere the Gray's Reef Film Festival on Saturday, February the 10th. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Thank you, Jesse. We're very happy to talk with you today.
Now, first things first, is this going to be the world premiere at Gray's Reef?
That's it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We like to get our facts straight so we don't get accused of being fake news podcasts, right? Tell us in a nutshell how far back this this project goes. When were the first conversations you guys can recall?
Well, it goes back all the way to 2009. I was still working at Gray's Reef National Marine Sanctuary. Mehmet was still at WSAV. He was the... Oh, you were...
Oh, no. I was done with the...
That's right.
Yeah, I started my own company, Blue Voyage Productions, in 07.
That's right.
And which gave me a little bit more time to jump on board with Kathy to actually get this project going.
Now, Mehmet, I know you had done some other work that had to do with marine life and all of that stuff. So whose idea was it? Who called who?
So Kathy and I worked together on project when I was actually working at WSAV, and she was at the time doing GPTV, if I'm correct. And so we went back you know, we were very much involved with the marine life, what was going on in our ocean. But for my thesis film at SCAD, I was working on a project about the snapper, red snapper. And Kathy was working on another project about the fishermen and their oral story. So somehow we got together and the ideas just crushed and became one idea, and we went from there.
Now the topic of this documentary is sustainable seafood. We have yet to mention that, but that is the premise here. Tell us how you guys, because I would think once you agreed this was the direction that we were going to go, it kind of caught fire quickly. Yeah,
it did. And anytime you do interviews, you know, when you're recording oral histories, one interview leads to the next. And so what we discovered in talking to, we interviewed eight different multi-generational commercial fishing families. And so we were looking at, you know, the how they were dealing with the decline in fish populations, shrimp populations, you know, how that affected their families. But then we started looking to how they were going to survive in the future. And so one, like I said, one interview led to the next, and it landed us solidly in South Carolina, oddly enough, with the Marhefka family. And the Marhefkas are fourth generation fishermen, and they saw that the way that they were operating business as usual was not going to propel them into the future. So they shifted it up. They shifted their baselines and made a model that is very, is not only allowing them to survive, but to thrive. And so we look at their future, and then we also look at how the game is changing through our chefs.
Right. Yeah. Now, it's important to explain to someone who doesn't understand much behind the whole premise of sustainable seafood. You know, you guys spent a few years working on a project where these fishermen are telling you, hey, the average size of the fish we're catching are getting smaller because of the demand. We're not letting them develop. And that's just one example of how we are depleting the stock, if you will, that's in our oceans. What was one other thing maybe that jumped out at you?
Correct. I mean, I think that the biggest issue was, you know, these fishermen are going out there and catching fish because there's a demand, and the demand is coming from the consumers. Right. But most of the time, the consumers, especially the high, you know, price consumers, the people who can afford seafood,
right?
They are demanding these popular fish is because of the chefs. The chefs are making it popular. So I think it was almost like an evolution for us, for us when we were interviewing these fishing families, and then what they were seeing in their catch. We took that to the scientists, and the scientists said, yes, these are the facts. There is a change. There is a shift in the baseline. And then from there, it was just like a logical, you know, approach to actually go to the consumers and go like, well, what can we do? How can we change the minds of the people that are consuming and they're demanding this catch and forcing us to do a shift in the baseline? And we saw the gatekeepers as the chefs were the gatekeepers. And we have fabulous people in our communities, chefs, who understand this problem, and they are trying to reverse it. They are demanding local catch.
Very good. Sourced fish.
Yes. Now, that's that leads us to a perfect segue, actually. We are chatting with Mehmet Chalyan and Kathy Sakas, film producers, filmmakers. A documentary world premiere. It's called Shifting Baselines. You can see it for the first time ever at the Grays Reef Film Festival on February 10th. So you guys invited me and a bunch of other chefs, and then that's our segue, to have a roundtable discussion, and we ate some great food down in the Hampton Island area, which is most popularly known as Ben Affleck's neighborhood, right? We had a great time down there discussing all this stuff. How much of that roundtable discussion, which I think allowed you one element of explaining this to the average everyday person, what is happening here, how much of that got some play in your final film?
Well, it's threaded throughout the film. So it begins at Hampton and it ends at Hampton.
Oh,
so,
no kidding. Okay.
And then there are pieces of it throughout the documentary. So we got a lot of mileage out of it.
Yes, we did. And you know, I mean, Jesse, you will agree, you know, that you and I both ended up here. And we fell in love with the culture, the history, the environment, and everything that, you know, is basically what, you know, makes this town so unique. This place is so unique.
Right.
And I think what we experienced that, and you were there, you know, we were all, you know, like together, what we experienced at the Hampton Island was basically the fabric of this whole, you know, southern culture, the coastline, right?
Absolutely.
And, The delicious that food we had is what we believe that it's all about, you know, protecting what that experience. When people come down here from other parts of the world, that's what they should experience. Locally catched, locally sourced, amazing seafood and beautiful, you know, in a beautiful environment.
Yeah.
And so we definitely use that scene, the entire, you know, like, piece as our bone of, you know, like this whole documentary, because,
gotcha,
you know, without these families, without these chefs, without these
science,
you know, we can't have that experience, what we did, you know, at the Hampton Island.
Very good. Now I'm gonna ask you each to give me one answer. Name one thing that now that this project is approaching the end, one thing that you walked away from going, wow, I did not know that. That is unbelievable.
Let's see. Well, I was pretty impressed that our fishermen and fisherwomen they saw the decline in fish populations themselves, and you know, while at first when fishing was abundant, when the shrimp were abundant, you know, they caught the heck out of them, but then after a while they began to realize that if we don't start, you know, monitoring, if we don't start policing ourselves, we're gonna fish ourselves out of business. So I thought that was pretty poignant.
How about you, Mamet?
For me, it was definitely the power of individuals who are very persistent in their approach. I mean, like, you know, my Kafka family in South Carolina, you know, they said that, you know what, we're not going to allow faith change what we do. We're going to take control of our, you know, business ourselves. And they thrived. Same thing. We talked to one of the chefs in North Carolina. He changed the industry the way, you know, like the one national chain, when they were, you know, like selling their product, he said, I'm not buying from you guys. And then you have to watch the documentary, how that whole played. But, you know, like, I mean, these two individuals, literally, they changed the entire system, how the businesses are run. So I think for me, that was like very encouraging, very inspiring. And empowering too, that shows that, yeah, we can do it. You know, we can actually change things around in this country.
Very good.
By being very persistent on what we do.
They may have been the problem, but they certainly are the solution too.
Very good. How long is the final product?
Wow, it's about how long is the
An hour and 10 minutes, including the credits and the epilogue. The epilogue is pretty funny because some of these people, you know, like one of the shrimpers decided to retire when his striker, 73-year-old striker, retired, and he sold all of his shrimping fleet and went into fireworks.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I did. Very good. Very good. Well, I did, you know, an episode of Eat It and Like It back in the fall, and I had 22 minutes of content, and I thought I could go on for 5 hours. You guys got an hour and 10, and I'm sure you left stuff on the edit room floor that you just didn't want to end up with a 3 hour, you know, epic film.
Right.
So anybody who wants to see it, come on out to the Trustees Theater. That's the one right next door to Leopold's. That's the landmark there on Broughton Street, 216 East Broughton. The film gets going at 8 o'clock. Do you anticipate a sellout? I would think it's going to be full house.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm betting on it.
Yeah, I would think so. Will there be Q&A afterward?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
Some of the fishermen and women that are interviewed, some of the chefs, and some of the scientists are going to be on hand to answer questions from the audience after the show.
Very good.
You will be there too.
Yeah, Jesse.
Very good. Very good. Well, the film is called Shifting Baselines. It's the world premiere at the Grays Reef Film Festival. It's Saturday night, February the 10th at 8 o'clock at the Trustees Theater. If you have any kind of interest in sustainable seafood and what's being done about it, more importantly, because we could all say, hey, I'm going to go to a restaurant and order sustainable seafood, but this gives us all a big picture view of what is being done about this issue. Would you all agree?
Yes.
Very good.
Very well said.
Very good. Well, good luck with the film, and let us know when you're gonna be walking down the red carpet at Cannes, right?
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us. That is our time. Thanks so much for joining us here on Shuck It and Eat It and Like It podcast. We've got plenty more. We're gonna drop these guys weekly, and hopefully you're enjoying them, listening to them maybe in the morning as you get ready for work, or on your drive home or drive in. Either way, however you slice it, whatever time of the day, morning, noon, night, you're listening to us, thank you so much for doing so. If you feel so inclined and you enjoy what we're doing, please give us a rating on iTunes. It will help us grow this thing and help us conquer the foodie world in this little corner of the planet. That's my pitch. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Shuck It and Eat It and Like It podcast. Have a good one.
Baby, what's your name? Yo, see, I'm a regular here and I know most of this ragged band of thieves. But you're the sweetest thing ever to pass my eye in this place, I do believe. Maybe it's just a coincidence or just something I perceive. Even though you're laughing and hanging with your girls, your eyes keep passing back to me. Yo, yo, move your body, girl. You wanna add a car, wine into a black or West Indian, gotta kinda...